Didn't he realize that he was treading on dangerous ground when he was starting to upset the apple cart?
Yes, I believe he did. In fact, there was a very eerie home movie that Kennedy made where he grabs himself and rolls on the ground like he's been shot. And I think at another point he told someone, you know, if somebody wanted to kill me, it wouldn't be that difficult. You'd just have to get a guy with a rifle in a tall building. And, you know, that was pretty prescient. But, George, I have two tidbits of information that you and your listeners are probably not aware of that I think are extremely important in connection with this case. And if you allow me, I'd like to go through those two.
Absolutely, please.
Okay, the first has to do with computer models. excuse me. A couple of years ago, Peter Jennings on ABC produced a two-hour special on the Kennedy assassination, and the big foundation of their conclusion that it was only one shooter from the Texas School Book Depository was based on this computer model. Other people have used computer models. There's even a game out that caused a lot of controversy about, you know, now you can shoot at President Kennedy.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, things like this. And they're all based on these computer models, and we've kind of gotten so used to computers now that we feel like, well, you know, if the computer says this is the way it is, that's just the way it has to be. And yet, if you stop and think about it, we have to realize that a computer is no better than the information that's put into it. You know, the old adage, garbage in, garbage out. And so I want to point out that for any computer model to be 100% accurate, it's got to have 100% accurate data going into it, right? So to make a computer model of the Kennedy assassination, you would have to have 100% accurate information coming in dealing with the topography of Dealey Plaza, the distances, elevation, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to point out that years ago I interviewed Bob West, who was the Dallas County surveyor, and his associate Chester Brenneman on separate occasions. Now, these were the two men who were hired by the Warren Commission to survey Dealey Plaza in the spring of 1964, and the Warren Commission, back in their volumes, actually publishes a little postage-sized stamp of their map and a little legend, which gives all of this pertinent data. And to the best of my knowledge, this is the data that has been used by everybody from ABC to everyone else to base their computer models on. Now, here's the story. Both Bob West and Chester Brenneman very adamantly told me in no uncertain terms that the Warren Commission altered their numbers.
What?
Yes. And I can prove that because Chester Brenneman allowed me to copy his original survey map that they had done for the Warren Commission. And on there, by the way, in addition to altered numbers in their legend as when it was reproduced in the Warren Commission, there are also notations saying here's a bullet mark on the curb here and a bullet mark in the street here. And he said they were ordered to delete those. And the Warren Commission, of course, never showed us that. Now, I think, you know, what more can I say? Case closed.
That's a major story.
I think so, but of course nobody seems to pick up on that. But so I guess what I'm telling you and your audience is you cannot trust any computer model of the Kennedy assassination that is based on the data as published by the Warren Commission, period.
It's faulty.
It's faulty. And if you're off, you know, on something like that, if you're off as much as an eighth of an inch somewhere, it'd be, you know, it's going to be 30, 40 feet out somewhere else. So you just can't trust those. Now, the second thing is, and nobody knows about this because this took place in Japan, and the only reason I know about it is because I happened to be involved in their documentary a couple of years ago, again, about the same time that Peter Jennings presented his ABC documentary on the Kennedy assassination. There was a 2 to 3 hour documentary produced in Japan for one of their television networks, Asahi. And they came over and interviewed me and a lot of other people. And they, too, did a computer model. And just to show you how screwy it can get with the computer models, in this documentary, they went to Poland and computer experts in Poland. They went to computer experts at Scotland Yard. They studied all the data, and they concluded that there were at least four shooters shooting
at Kennedy. Oh, my God. Four?
Okay. So see what happens? But one of the items that they brought out in this Japanese documentary blew me away, and I think it will you, too. They first sent me a copy of their documentary in Japanese, and I thought what I was seeing was what I was seeing, but since it was in Japanese and I don't speak Japanese, I wasn't certain. But then later they sent me an English translation, and sure enough, here's the story.
All right.
They found a man in California who had been a friend of Jim Garrison's, the DA in New Orleans that, you know, that prosecuted Clay Shaw,
uh-huh.
and had obtained from Jim Garrison a clean, pristine copy of the Zapruder film.
Which we have not seen.
We did not for 15 years. Okay, and in fact would not have seen it maybe even today if it had not been for Jim Garrison. He subpoenaed the film from Time Life. They fought it, I believe, all the way to the Supreme Court. And they said, no, this is a legitimate subpoena. You have to turn over the film. And that's how it became available, because once Jim Garrison had it, some of his people made copies, other people made copies, they made copies of the copies, and it finally was released to the American public.
He had the originals, Jim,
No, he subpoenaed them, and it's my understanding he got a second or third generation copy. But with all the frames in it.
Right.
Now, for any of those of you who have seen the Zapruder film, or you may own a copy of the Zapruder film, including the latest DVD that's supposed to be the retouched, refurbished...
Enhanced version,
you will clearly see a splice that takes place just as Kennedy disappears behind the Stemmons Freeway sign, just as the shots were being fired, but some frames before the fatal headshot. And you will see that he's sitting on the edge of the car, his right hand's up, he's waving, he's kind of looking to his right, everything seems to be okay. And by the time he emerges from behind the Stemmons Freeway sign, he's hands are clutching to his throat, and it's clear that he is showing some stress and that he has been hit by about at least a bullet. Now, the splice appears just as he goes behind the sign. We've known about this for years, but we didn't understand. I think Time Life tried to explain that the film was damaged in processing. And we knew there was a frame or two or so missing there.
Right.
But nobody knew why, okay? My suspicion was that they had simply edited out a couple of three frames just to tighten up the time sequence to try to make the three shots in the 5.6 seconds work.
Okay.
But no. The Japanese, when they got this Zapruder film that did not have the splice, found something quite different, and then it was confirmed when they went to a fellow in Dallas, and he too had an unspliced version of the Zapruder film, and it confirmed what they had found there, and that is the frames that are missing are the frames that show a bullet striking the sign. One frame, the back of the sign is totally clear, and the next frame, bam, there's a little bullet hole in it.